Well, in New Jersey, jury selection is underway this week in a federal trial over something that happened 3 years ago today in Fort Lee.
I 211 Fort Lee traffic is a nightmare.
10-4, we're getting calls from irate motorists.
We medically notified possible head injury, should weigh in for over now.
You are aware the town is a total gridlock, correct?
385, the traffic starts at the GW. It backs up all the way through Palisade Ave to the end of town by Route 5.
The GW bridge is totally gridlocked. If you can come up maybe Fort Lee Road or something to that effect.
Those are just some of the hours of 911 calls recorded over 4 days in September of 2013 when local access lanes to the George Washington Bridge were closed in the scandal now known as Bridgegate. Well, two former aides to New Jersey Governor Chris Christie are now on trial for allegedly orchestrating the traffic jam as an act of political retribution for a mayor who didn't endorse Christie's reelection. Matt Katz is a political reporter for WNYC and author of the book American Governor Chris Christie's Bridge to Redemption. He's with us now. Hi, Matt.
Hi there, Jeremy.
And just briefly remind us of what happened back on this day in 2013 at the foot of the George Washington Bridge.
Sure thing. So Chris Christie is running for re-election as governor of New Jersey, and the mayor of Fort Lee decides not to endorse him. This apparently infuriated some of Christie's aides, so they decided to close lanes to the bridge, which went into New York City, so commuters in the morning rush would be clogged in this town, Fort Lee, which is at the foot of the bridge. And that's exactly what happened for several mornings in a row. Jeremy, this traffic was so bad that ambulance drivers were getting out of their vehicles and running to the scene of incidents. And if you listen to what federal prosecutors have alleged, the traffic jams were planned for the first day of school in order to maximize the pain on the people of Fort Lee.
And Chris Christie has always denied any involvement in or knowledge of the decision to close the lanes. And he fired aides who were found to have been involved. And now two of those aides, Bridget Ann Kelly, who was Christie's former deputy chief of staff, and Bill Baroni, who was one of Christie's top appointees at the Port Authority, are going on trial. Jury selection started yesterday. What are they charged with?
They're charged with misusing public property and interfering with the public's right to transportation and the free access to transportation and assorted other corruption charges. They are defending themselves by saying that they could not have possibly done this on their own. They're going to either directly or indirectly insinuate that they were taking orders from on high. The reporters that will be packing into the courtroom will be trying to figure out how high this conspiracy really went. We know that there were other conspirators. That's what the feds say. They just didn't have enough evidence to charge those folks. And we don't know who those people are. We're hoping, the press is at least, we're hoping to find out some names and figure out who else in the administration was involved in this and what the governor himself may have known or may have not known.
And so far, no evidence has been found linking Christie himself to the lane closures, correct?
That's correct. Although we have gotten some information in the last few weeks that is somewhat intriguing. For example, the governor had said that he handed over his personal and public email accounts to federal investigators. There was apparently one private email account he used with his wife that he used for government business. He did not turn that over, we've learned. There's also a cell phone that instead of giving to federal prosecutors, he instead gave to his attorneys who went through the cell phone and decided which information to hand over to investigators. The third piece of evidence we learned was a text message that a former aide to Christie sent while the governor was giving a press conference denying any involvement in this. And this aide writes, "The governor is flat out lying right now." So there are some peculiar questions that hopefully get some answers to in the courtroom.
And whatever happens with this trial, how much would you say Bridgegate has already affected Christie politically, both in and outside of New Jersey?
I've covered the governor for 5.5 years, and it's my contention that this ruined his political career in the short term. It certainly damaged him tremendously in New Jersey. He was extraordinarily popular, and now he is one of the most unpopular governors in modern New Jersey history. As far as his presidential campaign, he did terribly in that race, and right before Bridgegate broke in December of 2013, he was actually leading the field of potential Republican nominees.
Yeah.
More than anything, I think it made a lot of the billionaires who were pledging to back his candidacy, they got some scandal fatigue after Bridgegate broke, and they were very concerned about how damaged he might have been, and they decided to move on to other candidates. And I think that was the real problem in the beginning of that race, more than anything else.
And just very briefly, Matt, he's now very involved with the Trump campaign. Is this likely to have any impact on that?
It's going to add some more intrigue into it for sure. Donald Trump, when these guys were still running against each other for president, had said that Christie definitely knew about the bridge scandal. So it's kind of that's a kind of a funny footnote, but it will get some more media attention, I'm sure, since Christie is the transition chairman for the Trump campaign.
That's Matt Katz, a political reporter for WNYC, as jury selection is underway in the trial over Bridgegate, a couple of former aides to Chris Christie. Matt, thanks.
Thank you so much.